Hello?
Oh, Mr. Maroney.
His name is Lou. His name is Lou. His name is Lou.
How you doing, friend? You on the streets of NYC tonight?
I am on the streets of NYC, 50th and 1st Avenue, to be exact.
Very nice. Very nice. Somebody come and scoop Drewski up. All right. I really wanted to talk about fantasy. That's really what was on my mind. But we got our draft coming up in a week and a half, and you're number 9 and I'm number 10. So I can't be up here telling you who I think are sleeper players that you're going to take before me. So we're going to have to touch on some things we touched on last week, Drew. I can't afford to have that happen.
You know what? I'm fine with you telling me who you like and me telling you who I like, because I'm the back-to-back champion.
Oh, okay.
So if anything, you should be asking me who I like, and then you should be kind of altering your notes in favor of those players.
Changing my whole strategy. I'm going to change my whole strategy up just to pick the players that Drew wants.
Good. You should.
Oh, man. So we'll go with some divisions and over-unders. I mean, we touched a little bit last week on who we think is the best division, but there's some interesting odds out there in terms of who is going to win certain divisions. I'm looking at the NFC East. We got the Eagles, who are obviously the favorite. Then the second in line is the Cowboys, are 4-1. What are your thoughts on the NFC East, Ruski?
Yeah, I mean, I believe that since 2004, there has not been a repeat winner of that division. So what is that, like 13 straight years where the team that won the division last year didn't win it again the next year? So, I mean, there is some value, I guess, on some different teams. And, you know, you could argue that Philadelphia could have a Super Bowl hangover. You know, you don't know how healthy Wentz is going to be. You don't know if Nick Foles can duplicate his, you know, perfect Super Bowl performance. So, in theory, there is some value on the other teams.
The Redskins 10-1, is that value? Alex Smith, is that value?
I kind of don't mind the Redskins. I mean, Alex Smith, he's not the sexiest quarterback out there, but he's a stable quarterback. You know, he's gonna not turn the ball over. He's gonna win you between 7 and 9 games possibly. So Washington, I think they could, you know, be competitive in that division. You get the Giants, who knows what you're gonna get from them. Eli and Saquon, there's a lot of hype around them. I mean, they could surprise and take the division. And then obviously you have Dallas with Zeke and Dak. And anything's possible there. So I do think that there is value on maybe fading Philly and going with someone else to win that division. My only thing is, Todd, I don't know who.
I don't know. I think I like Alex Smith. I do. He's a reliable quarterback. I mean, 10-1, and then the Cowboys at 4-1 seems nice. You know what? I like a 10-1 a lot better. The next division, you got the Chicago Bears are 10-1 to win their division. I know that you said you liked the Bears last week, but that's a pretty tough division. Minnesota is the favorite. And Green Bay, then Detroit at 7-1, Chicago at 10-1.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think the Bears are going to be better. Are they going to be good enough to win that division? Probably not. You know, if the Bears were in a division like the NFC South, that would be a little more tempting. But when you're going up against Aaron Rodgers twice a year and the Vikings defense twice a year, I find it hard to believe that the Bears are going to actually take that division. But I mean, you could take the Bears, you know. You could take the Bears to win the division now, and then let's say they start off like 2-0, 3-0, then later in the season you could hedge your way out of it, you know what I mean, in order to like trying to kind of find a profit there.
Dude, I would like to be able to sell future bet slips. I was actually looking a couple of years ago at websites that have that, but it's only legal in Vegas because like you have to trade the ticket and verify it, so it doesn't seem like you can really just – because I would like to do that in, like, the NBA playoffs where it's like, you know what?
Yep.
The Grizzlies are the 4 seed and the Warriors are the 1 seed, but I think they got a chance to split the first 2 games, and then all of a sudden it goes from, like, plus 700 to, like, plus 250. Swing that.
Right.
But we don't bet. We don't bet, so.
We don't bet. But for the people who do bet, I mean, there is some actual value there because I think Sportsbook.com, I think Sportsbook offers that where, like, you know, if you took Philadelphia to win the Super Bowl last year, let's say, right, at like 4,000-1, or I'm sorry, or like 40-1, you know, and then they make the playoffs, you could, in theory, hedge out of that in order to net yourself a profit, which, again, makes sense in certain situations. But there is definitely value in, you know, trying to hedge out of your future.
We'll see if there is a marketplace for that now that gambling has opened up a little more. But in the meantime, we're moving on to the NFC South. You said the Bears could win the NFC South. This is the best division there is, man. The Saints, the Falcons, the Panthers. They're all – the Panthers are the third in line. They're 3-1. The only one that the Bucks, you know, they got no chance. The Bucks are terrible.
Yeah, the Bucks are a dumpster fire. let's establish that. And, yeah, I mean, you could make a case for all three other teams. It's just, you know, they've all been in the Super Bowl in the past decade, so they all have some history. Carolina, you got Cam with the new offensive coordinator in North Turner. Not really sure how that's going to shake out. Drew Brees is getting old, man. Like, I know he's, you know, breaking records and throwing yards and touchdowns, but what is he, like 39, 40?
He's old, so, man. He's old.
One bad hit below the knee, and then the Saints are turning to who? Like Chase Daniel as their quarterback, and then they're a 4-win team.
They got a good ground game, man. Kamara and Ingram. Kamara, Ingram's what, back up to 4?
TDs? Yeah.
That's why Kamara's so high on the board this year. He's like number 6 on these mocks.
He's a little too high, if you ask me, Todd.
Oh, is that so? We'll see what you do at number 9 then, Drew. We'll see if you take him right before me.
I'm just saying that. I think Kamara, he's a little overvalued at the moment.
Why? Because Ingram's going to come back and get 2 TDs a game again in the fourth or fifth week?
It's just I'm a little wary on, like, running backs like Kareem Hunt and Alvin Kamara, who were, you know, like, fourth-rounders to seventh-rounders last year. Then everyone, now they're the sexy name now, and now they become first-rounders. And, like, you wonder if they can translate that rookie success into their sophomore year. I'm just a little wary on it, you know.
Yeah, sophomore slumps. Todd Gurley had a sophomore slump, and he came back. He was the number one fantasy player.
Exactly. And then just to finish up the South, I mean, you got Atlanta. Obviously, Atlanta is a great team, but, I mean, two things with them. Like, I feel like, are they ever going to get over that, like, mental hurdle where you lose that Super Bowl in that heartbreaking fashion? You kind of saw it carry over into the divisional round game versus Philly where, what, they had 4 shots at, like, the 2-yard line and they couldn't score. So it's like you wonder if they're going to get over that mental hurdle. And you have Steve Sarkisian as the offensive coordinator, and he's, like, blatantly, like, terrible, you know? So you wonder if, like, Atlanta has, like, the metal and the fortitude to be able to get back to the Super Bowl. But, you know, we'll see.
We'll see. Are you going to pick any of these division winners? I think that if I had to go with a division winner, because we're just talking about the teams, I think I'm going to go with the Panthers. I think that Cam Newton's got a little chip on his shoulder. I like their ground game. I don't want to – you know what? That's all I'm going to say. I like their ground game. I like the ground game.
I don't like that. I'm seeing they're at plus 250, so I think there's value there. I did take a stab at one division. I took Baltimore when they were at plus 400 to win the AFC North. And since that, Todd, they fall into plus 250.
I'm on sports, but they're still 4-1. But I mean, I like this pick a lot. And you know what? Talking about the future bets, it's like there's just a marketplace for you to pick a division or pick the Super Bowl champion to be the Ravens, where they're like plus 120. I like the Ravens. That is a good sleeper team this year.
It's a good sleeper team. They got a good defense.
They do, and they got reliable quarterback play. I think they got a good team. I don't know. I don't know the Steelers. I'm not sure what the deal is with Le'Veon Bell. I actually got the number 2 pick in my other league, and it's like, am I taking Le'Veon Bell? What the fuck's up with this contract? I'm not sure.
Yeah, because Gurley's going 1, so I guess I would go Bell number 2 because like Pittsburgh is going to score.
But having a wide receiver like Antonio Brown, I've never had that. You know what person you don't need to worry about me picking because I'm not going to pick him is Julio Jones. Who? Most overrated. All he does is get 100 yards a game, but this man never scores a touchdown.
I'm with you, man.
I will never pick Julio Jones or AJ Green. Those are the two players I won't be taking back to back. Don't worry about those guys.
I'm not taking those guys either.
Well, that's not good. I wish
unless
you
you're trying to psych me out. No, unless we're playing like a little mind game here.
Mind games.
Plus, with Julio, you got Calvin Ridley. You know, so maybe Atlanta's going to want to feed him because he could be like the heir apparent, you know, so to say, for Julio.
We're not even going to talk about the AFCs because it's really just too fucking depressing to talk about how bad our Dolphins are going to be. Second best chance is 10-1. The Jets have 15-1 and the Bills are 20-1. Wow, the New England Patriots continue to just.
Yeah.
It's just
No value in betting it. Any other team.
Disgusting.
Okay. Yeah. Like I feel like second place in that division could have like 6 wins.
Jesus.
Like couldn't you see the Pats at whatever, 10 wins, and then you got the Bills and you know, Jets go 6-10, Dolphins go 5-11, Bills go 4-12. Like that's totally in play, I feel like. Right?
I don't even want to talk about the Dolphins season. Yeah,
let's not talk about it.
It's just gonna upset us. We should get Bruce Barrett on the line one time to talk about how the Dolphins season's going to be. I'm curious to see what his outlook is.
I mean, if we were to get him on the line, we would have to kind of change the rating of our podcast because there's a lot of four-letter words involved in there. Yep. So I'm not sure it'd be age-appropriate for some of our listeners.
That's fair. We're gonna move on then to the AFC West. We got Los Angeles Chargers, who are the favorite, even though Philip Rivers will just
go Chargers.
Throw their season away because he is a pick machine. But he gets a lot of fantasy points. He does get a lot of fantasy points. Somehow he throws three interceptions a game and still scores 30 fantasy points.
It's true.
The Raiders are at 4-1. I like that. I think the Raiders have a chance to be good.
Yeah. And then Denver at what, like 5-1?
Yeah, 5-1.
Yeah, we'll get to Denver in our next segment on the over-under totals. But, I mean, yeah, I feel like the Chargers will win that division. But for the odds that you're getting, I feel like there's like no value there because they're such a snake-bitten team. Like, do you really only want to get plus 120 on the Chargers to win that a division? I don't. Like, I want more value on that. Like, I want plus 300 because they have no home field advantage, you know. They lose games like it's their job. So I don't really trust them, you know, to win the division. But I guess they are, like, the best team. So we'll see.
So for these over-unders, since there's so many in this 32, I want to pick out ones that I think are ones that could be
tell me.
Close ones. Yeah, like, ones that you think maybe are guarantees, because I'm looking at Baltimore Ravens over 8.5. 8.5 is the line for them.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No,
that's an over.
I definitely like that. So my strategy, just for anyone who cares, if you care, Todd.
I care.
You care? Okay, good.
Talk about these half games.
I don't know if someone cares.
Huh? How do you treat these half games? Some of them are just 6. Some of them are 6.5. That is a half a game. That is an important game to look at.
So here's my thing. I'm usually never going to bet a team to go over their win total, and I'll tell you why. Usually, you're going to get more value on betting that team to, like, make the playoff. So, for example, Baltimore is a prime example, right? Their over-under is what? You said
8.5.
And, like, what's the juice on that? Like what's the vig? What's the juice?
All right. If I put – let's find out. I can say
minus 145.
It says 10 to 11. So, if I put $100, I'm going to get 90.
Right. So, you're losing money. So, my site says over-under 8 at minus 145. That means I got to lay – $1.45 to win $1 on Baltimore to get 9 wins. Now, why would I do that when I can bet Baltimore to make the playoffs at like plus 135? Because chances are, if they go over 8 wins, they're going to make the playoffs, more than likely.
Okay.
So I think there's more value in doing that kind of prop. Like, yes, Baltimore can make the playoffs at plus 135, so I bet $1 to win $1.35 as opposed to laying $1.40 to win $1. You know what I mean?
So you're only going to bet on the unders, you're saying?
I typically only bet on unders, correct?
I think that's a good bet because I was doing a little research myself in 2017 in the NFL standings. I believe there were 6 or 7 teams that finished with less than 5 games winning. You know, the Jets were 5-11, the Broncos were 5-11, the Browns were 0-16, Colts and the Texans were 4-12. A lot of teams, the Giants were 3-13. A lot of unders, and I'm looking right now at all the unders, and it looks like the lowest number of win totals I see out of any projected team is 5.5 for the Browns. That's the under. Right. That's the lowest amount. And I just counted off 6 or 7 teams that basically won 5 or less games last year.
That's a great point by you, Todd. That's actually a phenomenal point. That's why there's so much more value in just betting unders rather than betting overs.
I like it. Maybe I'll get on some of these unders. Because basically, if an NFL team implodes, if they implode, they're just going straight to the bottom. NFL teams cannot turn that around.
That's exactly right.
Jeez, because it's like, yeah, it's just a brutal sport, man. Brutal sport, you got a week to think about every game. The NBA, it's like, you know what? You lost an OT thriller. You're on a 15-game losing streak.
You're playing the next night.
The Milwaukee Bucks.
In Colorado.
Maybe you'll win.
Right.
You know, that's crazy how different it is. We can finish up with a little bit, I guess, of regular season MVP.
Are we going to give us some?
You want more over-unders?
Well, don't we want to give some teams out?
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about the Ravens was the one. And then we got off a tangent. I think the unders are what we're going on. This is a tangent I went off on.
Yeah, but give me some unders. Give me some unders.
All right. The under for the Browns is 5.5.
So you like that?
Yeah, I'm taking the under on that for sure.
Really? So you're not buying the Hard Knocks hype? You're not buying the Mayfield hype?
Absolutely not, dude. Have you seen that offensive line coach? Isn't that where the game of football starts? That offensive line room is a joke.
That's funny. Yeah.
The Tampa Bay Buccaneers, 6.5? That's under.
That's under, yeah.
I think the
no, you're right.
Yeah, go for it, sorry.
No, I was going to say, I mean, the Browns and Hugh Jackson, they have 1 win in the past 2 seasons.
Right. So they're winning 5.5 games?
Right. You never know, though. You said you like the Jets?
I do. I'm not sure about the Jets. I might stay away from the Jets, actually. I like the Broncos to go under 7. I think that's an overrated team. What do you think about the Broncos?
That's my favorite one of the year, Todd.
To go under?
Denver to go under, and I'll tell you why. All right. Case Keenum, he was good last year because it was just everything went right for him, all right? He had a great defense. He had a great coaching staff. And most importantly, he succeeded when people thought that he wouldn't. You know, as a starter, he was like an average starter. He went 0-8 one year in Houston as a starter. So now he's in Minnesota, comes in as a backup. He has a phenomenal defense, phenomenal coaching staff, phenomenal home field advantage. Everything just like went right for Case Keenum and the Vikings. Mm-hmm. Now he signs a 2-year, $36 million deal with Denver, and all of a sudden he's supposed to be the Messiah and the Savior. That's not going to happen. Yeah. That's not going to happen. Okay? He's going to regress badly. He's not playing games inside, you know, the Minnesota Superdome, whatever. He's playing games outside in Mile High. And, like, I don't think Denver's defense is as good as it has been.
No, that's a team that's deteriorating. What's the coach's name? I forget. It's our old defensive coordinator.
Vance Joseph.
Yeah, I don't think he's that great a coach.
He's not a good coach. You lose Aqib Talib in the secondary. I just don't think they're that good of a team. I mean, Demaryius Thomas is getting older. Emmanuel Sanders is getting older. Some rookie named Royce Freeman is, like, shooting up the draft boards, and it's supposed to be this, like, savior. Like, I don't see it. I don't buy it. I think Case Keenum's going to be what he has been his whole career. That's an average quarterback. I don't see Denver winning more than 4 or 5 games.
I like it. I like it, Drew.
Thank you.
He's understood. Oh, man.
And I'm glad you agree with me.
Yeah, I mean, that was one that stood out to me for sure. I mean, the Giants under 7, maybe. They might be really bad because I don't know who's on their defense. I don't really – I mean, my football isn't as good as my basketball, as everybody knows. Okay. But it's just – it's in my opinion, it's all about the line play because, sure, the Cleveland Browns have great skill players like Jarvis Landry on Hard Knocks, but if their line gets dominated, nothing else happens. And the Giants feel like their defense – they're the worst defense in the league, aren't they?
They weren't a good defense last year. They did sign Nate Solder to shore up their offensive line and kind of help Manning stay healthy. But defensively, I think they signed Alec Ogletree, who's like a terrible linebacker. I can't even name anyone in their secondary.
Right. It's like their defense is probably just going to get 30 points on them every single game. I think a good one is the Seahawks at 7.5. I don't know that I would bet on that, but at all, because the Seahawks are such a wild card team. 7.5 seems low to me. I mean, they're going to be an interesting team this year.
Yeah, I mean, the storyline for Seattle this offseason has been like how bad they're going to be, you know, selling away the Legion of Boom. I'm not totally buying that. You know, they still have Russell Wilson, who's phenomenal. You know, you still got a couple weapons on offense with like Doug Baldwin. They signed Brandon Marshall. Who knows how good he can be. They got Shaq Griffin, who's like the one-hander.
Yeah.
So I mean, they're probably not going to be good, but I think everyone's writing them off way too quickly. They still have a good home field advantage. Like, they're not going to be great, but like they're not going to be a 4-win team like everyone's projecting. So I would tread carefully on the Seattle.
I would not take on them. You know what? That I would definitely take. I don't even know if I've said this one yet. The Bucks, is that under 6.5?
Oh, yeah.
Because I might have already commented on the Bucks are an implosion.
Yeah. And
the Bucks are an implosion.
They're a train wreck. And I think we touched on this last week about how I think there's good odds for Dirk Cutter to be the first coach fired.
Yeah, maybe that's what came out. Maybe I'm hoping Coach of the Year came out. Let's see, because definitely had first coach fired last week. Yeah, worst NFL team is still out. The Bills. Wow.
Bills are going to be bad. Bills are going to be bad. Yeah.
Man. God, the Dolphins. Dolphins are up too high on that list for me to be happy about.
I mean, it's the same old story for the Dolphins. It's been the same story for the past 20 years. Well,
I do like the coach, though. I really do like Adam Gase. I think he's an interesting guy. I think that I like the way that we play faster than we did in the past. It was so boring watching the team we grew up. I feel like Kenny Stills gets, you know, some action. We're going for the long ball recently. Don't we remember times when we couldn't throw the ball at all? All it was handing the ball to Ricky Williams and whoever else was running back on the Dolphins. when what got bounced in the first round of the playoffs by the Ravens, 28-0.
Would you rather win 10 games a year or win 5 games a year?
I mean, I would rather that we held on to Nick Saban and picked Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper. That could have been a good 15 year run.
This is true. This is a valid point. This is a valid point. But no.
I was watching some show and they were saying that's the worst thing that could have been or something. They came up number one and I was like, I hadn't even thought about that before. I'm like, you know what? Nick Saban was our coach and Drew Brees should have been on our team.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, that happened.
We could have been. That happened. What? We were in 8th or 9th grade. Instead, we've had to watch Tom Brady win 15
basically,
years
in a row. Yes, exactly. That's exactly how it went down. But no, I mean, it's been the same story with Tannehill for the past 7 off seasons, right? Like, is this the year that Ryan Tannehill takes the next step? If you're asking the same question for 6 years, the answer is probably no at this point, right? I mean, how many times are you going to ask the same exact question? Like,
he's been hurt 2 years in a row. I mean, he was playing well. Then he got hurt. Matt Moore came in and we made the playoffs still. And then last year was the, I mean, I still got a chance. I still got hope.
Okay, so let me put on my talking head, face and say, is this the year that Ryan Tannehill does it? No. I mean, Ryan Tannehill is and will always be the 15th best quarterback playing. Like, he's not bad enough where you're going to go 5-11, right? But he's not good enough where you're going to go 11-5. You're going to go somewhere in the middle. And for the Dolphins, that's what is acceptable. We accept mediocrity. The Dolphins like mediocrity. You like going 7-9, 8-8, trying to retool for next year. It's been the same story for the past 20 years, so why should anything change now? Ownership's a mess. The front office is a mess. No one knows how to draft. No one knows how to sign free agents. No one knows how to coach. And that's what you get. You get a 6-win team for the past 15 years. So,
how do you really feel about the Dolphins?
I'm just saying, like you got to call a spade, right? I mean, it's the same story. You got
Dave Wannstedt and Jay Fiedler are the best football memories that I have.
How sad is that?
That is sad.
I mean, you got Kiko Alonso going over to the opposite sideline. Like, I don't blame him. If I was Kiko, if I was him, I would want to go over to Baltimore too. Get me off of this team, man. Right? Did you see that last night or no?
Yeah, I saw that. And I saw the ball slip out of Tannehill's hand on a screen pass.
Right.
Tannehill, God, we're terrible.
Dude, Tannehill, this is your 7th year playing in Miami. Like, balls get wet. Like, yeah, like it happens, bro. Like, this is your 7th year.
So and Christian McCaffrey rip off an 80-yard touchdown run.
Yeah, yeah.
Improve his fantasy value a lot with that one run.
The defensive coordinator.
How many spots do you think Christian McCaffrey moved up on the draft board due to his 80-yard preseason TD run?
Probably too many because the Dolphins have the worst run defense in the league. So he's probably overvalued at this point.
Okay. Well, he might be coming at number 10 and 11. You better pick him at number 9.
Oh, shit. Let me write that one down, Todd. I'm writing it down.
Write it down on the street. Get out your piece of chalk.
I write it on my stoop that I'm sitting on.
You know who's not on the MVP list? No odds for Ryan Tannehill. But there's 200-1 for Lamar Jackson. Come on, guys. You don't think there's better odds for Ryan Tannehill than Lamar Jackson? They have Lamar Jackson on this list.
Is there a least valuable player odds? Because I would put every dollar I have on Ryan Tannehill being the least valuable player.
Oh my God. This is going to be his year, Drew.
This is it. Year 7. This is it. This is the year.
Lucky number 7.
This is the year that it happens.
Well, number 1 is Aaron Rodgers, 9-2, then Tom Brady. If Tom Brady wins MVP again, did he win last year?
Who won MVP last year?
I don't know. Was it Carson Wentz? Did he win it anyways? Should have been Jared Goff.
I don't even know, man.
2017 NFL MVP. I've got the computer out.
Use the Google machine. What do we got?
It was Tom Brady.
Of course it was.
Fuck Tom Brady.
I mean, I'm probably taking Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
I don't know. I just feel like he's like the best quarterback on the planet, and I'm a big Rodgers supporter. I'm a Packers supporter. I said it before that this is his time to get a second ring.
Drew Brees could have a decent shot, 16-1, if the Saints are very good. If they go like 13-3,
yeah,
I mean that's saying a lot, but
I'm just worried Saints about be really Brees. Good. I'm just worried about Brees and his health. Like, just something. I don't know, man. I don't know how to explain it. I just got a gut feeling that Brees is going to get hurt or something, or tear another rotator cuff. Like, you know, you don't want to predict injuries or like handicap injuries, but like, he's getting up there, man. He's getting up there.
You wake up in the middle of the night and you're like, Drew Brees, watch out, he's coming for your legs.
Maybe, man. You never know. Football's a weird sport.
Listen, we can only get so lucky that it happens to Tom Brady this season, but he'll probably just come back. just like he did the last time. Or Matt Castle will just lead him to the playoffs, and it won't even matter.
It's true. I mean, the Brady years are declining, and it's a shame that no team in that division can, like, position themselves for, like, the future. Like, whose future would you want to have in that division when Tom Brady's retired in 3 years? Like, I don't know. Josh Allen.
That's why he stakes around. That's part of the reason that he fucking stays out of retirement so long. All these people don't even ever talk about how bad we are. This is a wipe-up season for him. It's like there's going to be no mileage on his body. It's going to be another reason that he gets to play until he's over 40. And none of those commentators, I feel like, ever harp on just how terrible our fucking division is.
Yeah, man. I mean, the Pats are going to waltz their way to 11 wins and probably a first-round bye. Like, that's just how it's going to be.
He's going to play forever. Tom Brady could play until 50 if his season was as easy as it's going to be this year.
You're right. That's actually, like, makes sense, dude. Like it makes total sense.
Ah, God. What other things are standing out to me? Do anybody besides QBs win? Let's look. In 2016, it was Matt Ryan. In 2015, it was Cam Newton. In 2014, it was Aaron Rodgers. I would say not. I would say Todd Gurley at 25-1 is probably not great odds. That's the only non-QB in this list.
You want a non-QB who can win MVP? Or
well, it sounds like they never win it, so fuck it.
It's the most Antonio Brown. Player, yeah. Rodgers, Brady, Wentz, Wilson, Roethlisberger, Breeze, Goff, Cousins, Ryan, Rivers, Newton, Prescott, Carr, Watson, Garoppolo, Luck, Stafford, Smith, Manning, Winston, Keenum, David Johnson. So the first non-quarterback to, with the best odds to win MVP, David Johnson and Le'Veon Bell at
50-1?
40-1.
Okay.
Todd Gurley 33-1. So I guess Todd Gurley would fall there. But yeah, it's basically that, you know, non-quarterbacks don't win most valuable player. And it makes sense.
Is the Emmys on tonight? How come there's an Emmys award category? Is that on tonight?
Emmys?
No, September 17th. What have you been I'm looking at I'm looking at Emmys. Best drama.
Yo, let's put $1,000 on Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
You don't think that those get out early? Come on. September 17th, 2018, that's a whole month to figure out who's going to win best drama.
We're maxing out Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, right? Max it.
Is that on Amazon Prime? I've seen a couple episodes.
I don't know. I just hear it's good.
You just hear about it. You're not watching it yourself.
I'm
You're
not.
Watching The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel on Amazon Prime.
I got the season finale of Sharp Objects tonight. That'll occupy my
Sharp Objects. I need to get into a new show. I just pretty much have been rewatching the old OJ documentaries, which is probably at this time I've seen it enough. I need to get on to something new.
Succession on HBO is pretty good. Sharp Objects, I just mentioned. Those have been my shows this summer. If you like stand-up, Dimitri Martin. He has kind of like a dry kind of humor, but he has like a 55-minute stand-up that was just released on Netflix.
Interesting. Drew, I'm going to watch that.
Dude, check that out. You're going to laugh. You're going to laugh at it.
This may be the most polarizing comedy special of the year. Dimitri Martin, Netflix.
Overthinker, right? That's what it's called? Overthinker?
Yeah, so I'm going to look at that.
Check it
out. And I appreciate that. That's a good recommendation. It's only 1:45 on a Sunday. There's a lot of things that I can still do today.
We got the whole day. We got the whole day ahead of us.
What are you going to do the rest of this day, Drew? The PG version.
Dude, I already went to the gym. I had my
You went to the gym!
Dude, I've been productive recently. I've been productive.
Good for you, Mr. Baroni. And we're going to – look at this. We're at 28:16. We're going to keep this to a perfect 30-minute episode.
I love that.
That's how perfect – that's how professional we are.
Because we don't want to bore our listeners. You know, at the 30-minute mark, you start to tune out.
Shout out to Spencer Solo for the engagement. There's no chance that he's made it to minute 28 and 30 seconds. But if you did, you got a shout-out.
If you did, you got a shout-out, and I'll send you a free mint jewel flavor.
Mint jewel flavors – on Drewski. I don't know if I got another minute 20 of banter in me, Drew. You got anything for us?
Another minute 20?
Another minute 20 of banter. We're at 28:50 now. We can end it on the Spencer Solo engagement. I mean, you can't get better than that. If he's still listening at minute 28 and 54 seconds, shout Spencer Solo.
Shout. But no, I mean, I guess we'll be in touch over our fantasy draft. And
listen, I think after we have our fantasy draft, which is in, 10 days, we can do another special. There'll still be drafts to be had. And that way I don't need to worry about you taking my player at number 9 that I'm going to take at number 10 and 11, okay?
That's a good strategy. I like that.
I didn't give away anything on this podcast, all right? I did that on purpose. We stuck to the team wins like professionals.
Like the professionals that we are. Yes.
All righty. All righty. It's 29:30. We're ending it at 29:30, Drew. I love you.
All right. Love you too. Talk to you later.
The podcast you just heard was published with Anchor. Got something you want to say to the creator of this show? Send them a voice message using the Anchor app, free for iOS and Android.